Hi, this is Patricia, domaine de manoir de Montreuil, located in Normandy, Montreuil-en-Auge. And you are listening to Cider Chat.
Episode 177. Hello and welcome to Cider Chat. My name is Aria Wincoller, and I am the producer and cider MC of this weekly podcast, where we speak with makers, cider enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world. On this episode, we're going to be at Domaine du Manoir de Montreuil, speaking with Patrice Giard as he walks us about in his orchard and into the back rooms with the giant oak barrels. All that and a little bit more on this week's episode of Cider Chat 177. But first, a little bit of news out and about in Ciderville.
There is a reason why we do it like this, oh yes there is. Oh yes there is. There is a reason why we drink it like this, oh yes there is.
We like cider.
Yes, we do. We like cider and having fun. That's myself singing there and my cousin Jay providing the vocals and music to this new song that debuted last week in episode 176. That episode is called We Like Cider. And if you haven't checked out the behind-the-scenes short version of this song on the Cider Chat YouTube channel, well, you might want to take a peek at it because there might be a photo of you somewhere out there in Ciderville. And when I get a chance to it, I'll be putting the more extended version of this song up on YouTube too, with even more photos that I have been collecting, so stay tuned for that. It's a fun little ditty, and I hope you're enjoying it as much as I do enjoy singing it, and perhaps you'll even sing along. So you'll be hearing that throughout this podcast and subsequent podcasts too. We have a new patron to Cider Chat, and that would be Charles. He just joined the Cider Chat Patreon page, which is a website that helps me continue to produce this website because folks like you find value in the podcast, a weekly podcast now going into its like second week of continuous listening. I mean, with 177 episodes, you could listen nonstop for a whole week. No pressure. Have fun. It's all cider. It's all about having fun. Anyways, he joined that, and I hope if you find value too, that you will become a patron of this here podcast. So with that said, he also sent me an email directly, and he wrote, "Have been listening to you for a year or so and enjoy your podcast. I'm a mead and cider home brewer in Western Washington State, maybe 50 gallons a year for about 5 years. Whoa, man, that is pretty righteous, Charles, no doubt. No plans to go bigger, have kegs and bottles, and enjoy sharing cider on my back deck in the July Northwest summers. Apples from my own trees, and I source local trees from old farmsteads, pressing and racking from scratch myself." That is pretty righteous, Charles. I'm impressed. And you know, that's really what it's about, making it and sharing it. I love that image of you out in July sharing that on your deck. I love that. Charles continues with, "Was just in Paris, and on a previous show, you mentioned the French cider restaurant Palms in Paris." And then he writes in capital letters, "Wow. Emailed a month or so in advance for reservations, and my wife mentioned that I make cider, and Daniel, the owner, met us at the door, remembered the email, and was an amazing host. Wonderful samples of cider, and he discussed where, why, and how he picks them. We had our meal recommended by him and his staff paired with the recommended ciders." Wow, again, in big capital letters. He also says that this sadly was just the other night, and it had a shadow cast over it as we were all aware of Notre Dame burning on the other side of the city as we sat there. Later that night, my wife, son, and I walked across the River Seine and could see it glowing on the horizon. Tragic. Yes, so if you haven't heard, and I can't imagine you wouldn't have heard this news by now, but yes, there was a very large fire at Notre Dame, and it's quite tragic, very, very sad. But he continues with, and I think this is the most critical thing to know about France, especially anybody wanting to come on the Totally Sided Tour to Normandy, France, going out in September, is that Charles writes, "I think in true French fashion, this did not affect the meal. The ciders from across the region paired with foods were outstanding. We have biked and traveled across France for years, and this was one of the stand-up meals we have had over our 20 years of traveling there. Thanks for mentioning it in one of your podcasts. Charles from Washington State." Well, Charles, I think that is really, two things there. One is, yes, in that kind of classic French style or fashion, as you say, we think, my God, the world must have ended because of Notre Dame. But the French are so resilient. You know, one must keep going on, and the French are perfect for that, which is why I'm offering the Totally Sided Tour to Normandy, France, because they just wow me, and why this week we have Patrice on taking us for a walk about in his orchard in Normandy. Thank you so much for your patronage, and also about the restaurant Palms. That restaurant does have a Michelin bib. It is a cider-centric restaurant based in Paris. And the last night of our Totally Cider Tour coming up in September, we are going to be having a cider dinner there. And you certainly know that. I mean, they are psyched to have a cider tour group to be going there. I mean, it's going to be crazy, crazy good. So thank you for that input. And if you're like Charles and you're traveling through that region, you might want to go there. But of course, like so many things, you can't delay because they get booked up, and it might be very hard to get reservations, certainly as they're getting more known. You want to make it easy for yourself? Sign up for the Totally Cider Tour today, and you'll be guaranteed a seating come this September.
Walking through the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet. We're just walking through the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
Kick up those feet now.
Next up, we're going to be having a walk about the orchard with Patrice Giard in Normandy, France. Allow me to give you a little bit of the background story here. This is not a sit-down chit-chat with him. We were on the Totally Cider Tour last September, and it was our first day in Normandy. We cruise out from Paris. We stopped at a wonderful deli, had these amazing sandwiches. It's one of those delis you walk in, it's these glass windows filled with Norman cheese, pastries, kind of place that my mom would say, you could swallow your tongue. Just so good. So we had our lunch there, and then we went over to the cidery. Like so many of the Norman producers, or cider makers, if you will, they are farmers. And so they'll have a tasting room, but the orchard might not necessarily be right there. It might be, but you're not necessarily going to be able to get that kind of full-fledged tour. That's why I set up the Totally Cider Tours, and that's why we're going to Normandy, France this September. And that was exactly what happened when we went to Manoir de Montreuil. We met at the tasting room, and then Patrice got onto our bus, and we drove down to his home, which is not open to the public. He does not provide tours at this location, and he was highly recommended to me by my contacts in Normandy, specifically EDAC, which is the appellation and control for cider, Pommeau, and Calvados, and Poiret in that region. So that's a little bit of the background story on how I got connected with Patrice. And when you get a tip like that, you definitely want to follow it up. There's no doubt about that. And so we were able to go to his location, and do a tour of his orchard. We left the tasting room area, which is more open to the public, and then went down to his private residence. And on either side of the driveway is an orchard. Up on the hill, his daughter was using one of the apple picker-uppers, is what I call it. It's basically a machine that goes around underneath the trees and is collecting drops, because in France, they are able to use drops in their cider making. They're not worried about that as, like, for instance, the U.S. is not allowing makers to use drops. It's very unfortunate, because by them using these machines, they really reduce labor costs, and they're able to use fruit that is perfectly fine. Absolutely perfectly fine, because when you ferment to alcohol, you're not worrying about any kind of bacteria or the little buggers that might get on the apples. The alcohol takes care of that. Anyway, so we moved around in the orchard. We are tasting different apples there. He's really encouraging us to do that and talking. So you're going to have a glimpse of that experience. Then we're walking over to the barn. We didn't get to go into all the rooms and hear everything that he was doing. But we did go into a back room where there were these very old oak barrels. And you just walk in there and you're breathing in. And it's like, gosh, you know, I could still smell it. Let me just put it that way. I could still smell it and feel the experience of being in that barrel room like we were in other barrel rooms on the tour. So this year, we're going to be going back. And I'll talk more about that at the end of this conversation. But in the meanwhile, how about if you and I grab a glass? I'm going to actually open up this little bottle of Calvados that I brought back. Here it is. And pour myself a glass, because I want to be able to tell you a little bit about it. It's never too early in the day to drink Calvados, is it? And head out now to Normandy, France. And because I adore you so much, Sartorville, I actually added our visit to a secret garden that I know about in Pays d'Auge that we visited before meeting Patrice. So we're going to go there first, take you in that little insider look, just to give you a little bit more of a tease and hopefully encouragement to sign up for the Totally Cider Tour going to Normandy this September. And then we'll make our way over to the Domaine du Manoir de Montreuil. It is a Tuesday morning on the Totally Cider Tour in Normandy. We are in Pays d'Auge, and everybody just got off our transport and just plopped down into this secret garden with all these different varieties of trees. There's animals that folks are able to kind of experience, different unique varieties of ducks. There's all these little outbuildings where people are able to walk in and see displays of a forge or an old still. And then we're going to be going into the secret garden. But really, everybody is on their own today just to experience this amazing display of French Norman-style gardens. The buildings are in that classic style known around here as colombage. That's where it's like that post and beam with the mud in between. And it's really, on a blue day, the yellows come out on the stones and on the mud. It's pretty spectacular. And of course, we're also right next to an orchard that is just laden with apples hanging. So it's a nice morning to be here. And for me, it is super special to be sharing it with these people who I'm not necessarily walking around with them. Everybody's just walking around in days and it feels fine. I'll catch up with you in just a little bit to share with you more about this Totally Cider Tour into Normandy. Standing in an outdoor covered worship area. There's benches that go straight across the room, beautiful curved arch, timber and frame. The oak beams are huge above me. I'm not really sure if it's anything other than oak that's used here. Certainly Must be something like that, and it's old. Very old. You could touch the wood, and it's a heavy, beaten kind of wood. A little wormy in some spots, but solid as a rock. I came down from the hill where there were two donkeys that greeted us with loud braying. Only a donkey can do, saying, "Come touch me, look at me, I'm a donkey." And down into the labyrinth that you walk as you hear the music playing in this altar. Then you rise up again, back into the garden scene as the music fades behind you. Above the church is a bell. It's just so much fun sharing these little secret spots I have discovered while designing the Totally Sighted Tour to Normandy, France. Next up, you're going to hear us arriving at Domaine du Manoir de Montreuil and meeting Patrice Giard and walking in the orchard.
Patrice Giard's farm is divided into two parts. The one where we are right now, to say where he feeds and where he takes care of the cattle and the like the animals. And the other one is for the transformation. So the la transformation So he produces milk and meat. His farm is about 120 hectares. And actually, all around you, you can really enjoy like the beautiful landscapes of Normandy. I didn't talk about that, but this is quite unique in France, because in most part of France, starting from the 50s, they have been cutting all the trees to make sure like the intensive agriculture was able to have like enough productivity. And except in Normandy, there was like an exception. So that's why now this area, like all Normandy, is kind of protected. It's like a protected area. You can't cut the trees. So all around you, you can observe 30 hectares of orchards.
Wow.
Ce sont des vergers qu'on appelle des vergers haute tige, sous lesquels les animaux peuvent pâturer.
Okay, so they are high stem trees where the animals can get fed, can stay like graze. Around. Yeah, they can get grazed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Donc les vergers ne sont pas traités.
So there is so they don't treat the orchards like they are organical. Orchards. When I say organical orchards, is that because nowadays when we speak about organical orchards, it means that they have like a special appellation and they have like tests and controls and so on. So he's saying that so he doesn't use any treatments not medical treatment,
pesticides,
chemicals, treatments. But at the same time, he doesn't have the label. He's just saying that he's naturally organical. Like he's just doing what they were doing like in the past. So.
So does that mean that he doesn't spray for bugs at all? For
Est-ce que vous pulvérisez par exemple pour les insectes?
So here we are on the and with Patrice Guérard at his area, his home, where the orchards are flanked on either side. We went down these narrow roads. It's just this incredible maneuver by bus driver Eric. We first went to his first farm, where he had the cattle, of course there's apple trees and pear trees everywhere. We could look out right now on this beautiful Norman day. They're gathering, picking up apples.
He's saying that,
this is Pamela.
He he's using just like the natural the nature against the bugs, for example, because he's saying that, for example, when there is like a, I don't remember the term, like, you know, when you have like a little animal inside the apple,
a worm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How do you call it?
Worm.
A worm. Mm-hmm. So actually saying that the cow eats it, and the cow also eats this little animal, so it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying that since now he has never be facing any kind of insects, bugs issue. Like, everybody is really regulated just with the cows and all the other animals he's using. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he doesn't have to use any chemicals. He's saying that in the nature, like, everyone has his own predator, so we make sure that he can balance his ecosystem in which everybody has his own predator.
So now we're getting off the bus at Patrice Guerra's home. Something that he doesn't normally open to people, and it's just an amazing opportunity for all of us.
Interesting, because it's the first time we're going to deal with this aspect, with this issue. So he was saying that in this area, now he's the only one producing, making cider, because either like the other farms have been diversifying their products. They have been either choosing just like a milk industry or a beef industry or cereals also, or they have been, as you can see around you, they just left. Actually, he was saying that during his childhood, all over here it was just about orchards everywhere around here. And now you can see that. Donc ils ont coupé les arbres.
Oui, les arbres sont tombés ou
either they cut it them, either just they fell down actually.
L'agriculture française.
So he's saying that the little by little agriculture in France is having less and less parts due for one of the reasons is the fact that Europe actually is really destroying agriculture in France. Saying that, so Europe, like if you just want to focus a little bit on that, when I say Europe, of course, you know what I mean, European Union.
Yeah.
So at the beginning, European Union was about 6 members, and then 9, and then, and like, I don't remember, since 2, l'Europe des 27, depuis quand? 2010,
je crois. Oui, 2010, depuis la chute du mur de
Berlin. Ouais, mais les 27, c'était un petit peu après.
Un petit peu après,
ouais.
Oui, l'Estonie.
Ouais, we don't remember exactly when it was, but now European Union is made of 27 states. I think it's about like since like 8 years ago, more or less. And since that time, it's really difficult to be able to support agriculture all over the states actually of Europe now.
Mm-hmm. Also, big issue. So he let us come in. This is a small village of only 53 people, and the actual area is what he has on his cider, Montreal. And his wife is collecting the apple, the machine that kind of picks it up from the ground. She's up there on the tractor.
Okay, so this is a family-run farm, because he's working with his wife and with his daughter.
Ah,
et vous, votre fille, vous pensez qu'elle elle reprendra?
Ah, elle a repris.
Ah, ok. So,
donc elle s'occupe de toute la partie laitière.
Ok, so his daughter is really focused on the milk activity, actually.
The dairy.
Donc, dairy, yeah.
Quand elle s'est installée, elle a installé un robot pour faire les vaches.
Ok, so now, when she decided to run the farm, she bought a machine, a robot, to milk the cow. Yeah, automatical machine to milk the cows.
Are there apples that are no longer in production elsewhere here?
Oui.
Yeah.
Oui,
oui. Vous voulez en goûter quelques-unes?
Would you like to taste some?
Ah oui.
Oui.
Vous pouvez voir avec lui.
So now Patrice is walking over to the barn. Up to our right is the orchard. And to our left is this colombage, that old-style barn, just absolutely, I don't know, ancient looking, with wooden shutters. And we're walking down into the orchard. Trees in this orchard were planted in 1996.
You can pick up, you can collect it.
Domaine de Calvados.
Name of the apple is Domaine de Calvados.
Domaine de
Calvados.
Ouais. Calvados Domaine.
So it's a sour, sweet, like mix, sweet, sour apple.
Mm-hmm. On a piece?
Yeah, sure.
C'est une très très vieille variété.
It's a really, really old apple variety.
And what would this apple be used for?
Will this be used for Calvados?
For cider and Calvados.
Cider and Calvados. He was saying that this is like part of the tough job of his job is to select actually the apple. This is like the real difficulty for him.
How many different varieties are in this orchard?
Just this one, or
yeah, well, part of his orchard.
So 50. He was saying 50? That there are about 50 different kind of apples. Mm-hmm. Vous avez à peu près 50 variétés.
50 variétés.
And are they all for cider?
All for cider. Cider.
Or eating? Right, right. And eating.
Yeah. Vous en avez aussi certaines plutôt ou pas?
Il y en a quelques-unes. Je vais vous faire goûter.
Just a little bit. He's going to taste it. The origin actually of cider in France is right here, as you know, actually in Pays d'Auge. And this is from the beginning of it. It's from 1450, 1450.
Oh, wow. 1450.
Yeah, 1450. Why did it come true? Because the French king actually by that time, so I don't remember the name of him, I couldn't make research, so decided to prohibit wine making because of the lack of sun, like wine was like the taste of the wine was really bad, so that's why they diversify, well, they change the grape into something else.
Yeah.
The reason why they decided to change the fruit is that because the water actually wasn't clear, wasn't clean neither. So they definitely needed to find something else to replace.
Les gens mouraient de typhoïde, d'autres maladies dans ces époques-là.
Yeah, during back to that time, lots of people were dying from water diseases. Actually,
donc il était moins risqué
comme aux États-Unis.
Donc il était moins risqué de boire du cidre ou du vin. Je veux dire, c'était meilleur pour la santé.
Yeah, so that's why they were trying to drink another juices instead of drinking water, and especially wine at the beginning and then cider.
Qu'est-ce que c'est the name?
C'est biscuit.
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 B-I-S.
From the region of Spain.
C'est aussi une douce amère.
So it's also like a sweet, bitter apple.
Now, right now, we're walking across this massive field, downhill, as Patrice picks up different apples and hands this off to people, and is describing the varieties. To my left is a pear tree that's just on air. Beautiful. The whole hillside here is sloped with orchards, all neatly planted again. I think this is 1996.
Ici, vous avez une variété qu'on appelle le fricain rouge, qui est une variété amère.
Okay, so this is a sour one,
yeah.
And oui, en effet,
oui.
Le fruit amer, comment vous avez dit, comment ça s'appelle?
Le fréquin rouge.
Le fréquin rouge, the name of it is fréquin. C'est quoi fréquin, ça veut dire quoi?
C'est le nom de la variété.
Ok, donc the name of this apple is fréquin rouge, red fréquin. Fréquin is just the name of this variety. Like it doesn't
I wonder if... he has a map of where all the different varieties are, or he just knows that.
Alors vous avez une carte sur laquelle il y a vraiment toutes les variétés qui sont notées quelque part, ou vraiment
oui.
Vous connaissez par cœur?
Moi je les connais par cœur les variétés, mais je veux dire tout est.
So he knows by heart where the different kind of apples are, but to get the appellation of the AOP of Pays d'Auge, he definitely need to list
all the varieties of apples he has.
But not on a map where it's located.
Est-ce que vous avez... est-ce que c'est juste une liste en fait de toutes les variétés que vous avez, ou bien est-ce qu'il faut, par exemple, pour avoir l'appellation, est-ce qu'il faut que vous dites voilà sur ce tel endroit j'ai ce type
voilà,
de pomme.
Voilà, c'est ça.
Yeah, oui. So he has the map. Yeah.
Okay.
C'est comme pour les vignobles, c'est pareil.
Okay, it's the same for the wine appellations actually.
Il y a une cartographie. De...
Yeah, it's a mapography.
Okay.
We tried some peri peri.
Oh, you did. Your lips to your teeth. We'll find some sweet ones. But they do love to mess with your head.
Yeah. he wanted to make you taste some. Bitter apples, but as you can see right now, the trees don't have any apples, unfortunately.
Mm. Well, what kind is it?
This one, what kind is it? Ça, c'est quelle variété de pomme, celui-ci?
Donc, c'était petit jaune.
Petit jaune, little yellow. Yeah. Petit jaune. But it's not...
Not producing.
Oh, yeah, j'en ai vu une, sinon, d'un
arbre. It just saw one in one tree.
He knows these trees.
Philippe, Alain.
So sometimes it's hard to find an apple on the apple tree, even in the most abundant territory, because they can be biennial or the drought has affected them here. But here we are running back and forth to each little apple, and it looks like our group has found some by shaking a limb. You want to show us a bitter one?
They collect them three times, and the last time, so the fourth time, they collected. Yeah, they
shake
the tree with an umbrella on the opposite umbrella, and they take the apples from it.
Vous la verrez en photo dans la boutique La Corona.
You are going to see this umbrella machine over there.
Oui.
On the picture. This is a really old farm because he's representing the 13th generation of apple cider makers.
Wow. 13th generation of apple cider makers. How often are they pruned? The trees are pruned?
Prune, what does it mean?
Cut back.
In spring.
Combien de fois vous les taillez?
On va tous les 3 ans à peu près.
So those ones have been planted into that area since the beginning of the 19th century because one good specificity of this pear is that they can be transported and they are really easy transportable, which means that they were used for exportation to Germany, for example, because they were able to stay a long time in the trains without being destroyed.
Mm. Vous pouvez croquer dedans si vous avez de bonnes dents.
So you can have a sip of it if you have really strong teeth, because if not, they are really solid. So
we bit into one.
And then, ils ont essayé, mais ils n'ont pas réussi. C'est comment elle s'appelle déjà celle-ci?
Poire de grise.
Poire de grise, which is gray pears.
Yeah.
Gray pears.
Yeah.
And then we look up at the graph there.
Et alors celui qui est là-bas, over there, you mean?
No, right there.
Yeah, right here.
Oh, right here.
C'est la greffe.
Oui, c'est la greffe. Ouais. Oui, oui, this is the greffe. How do you say that in English?
Graph.
Graph. Yeah, graph. Ah, yeah. Who was taking there?
Pretty amazing. The height of it is incredible.
I knew I came for some reason.
Yeah, that's right. I couldn't reach it.
So that graft is probably about 8.5 feet tall. We have Al, who's on our trip, was able to reach up to that graft. Now we're walking behind the barn here out of the orchard. I could see some large stainless steel cylinder tanks for making the cedar. Seeing some IBC tanks too. A bit of stainless and a nice stone classic Norman barn ahead.
This is a presserie we're walking by. Okay, so we're following him behind the large press, underneath the hose. I'm just barely making it under into the back room. They opened up a sliding door, and we're going into the area that he keeps the cider in, these large...
So here the ciders are stuffed into those inox...
Toute la ferme est dédiée, je veux dire.
In this site where we are right now, every room is dedicated to cider production. Okay, so it's Calvados or Pomo. Ouais.
On stocke le Calvados dans des fûts en bois et le cidre de consommation dans des cuves inox. Le cidre à distiller aussi dans des fûts en bois, dans des cuves comme celle-là. Comme ceux que je vais vous montrer tout à l'heure.
Okay, so the cider, as you know, is stocked into those steel stills, and then you have the Calvados and Pomo into the, ce sont du chêne.
Chêne.
Oak barrels.
Chêne oak.
Voilà. Ouais.
Great.
Okay. He's going to show you. Yeah, you can
peek in there. Yeah. So we're leaving that room, but I wanted to say in the back there was also some really large oak barrels. The ones that are upright, they are narrow up on the top and then flange out on the bottom. Nice cool room. I think it might be on the north side of the building. I'm not quite sure, but something that you don't quite see every day, only in Normandy. Next to like a giant barrel. The setup in this room is all like the cinder block kind of stonework that they have here. The walls are dark and black.
So,
and
see,
this barrel is same.
Like most of them are just 100 years old. Yeah.
Mmm, it smells like funky cheese.
So there are 450 hectoliters.
Wow. Yeah. And that's filled? That's filled with Calvados?
C'est du Calvados à
l'intérieur? Non, c'est du cidre pour faire du Calvados.
So right now this is cider to
be.
Do
okay.
Calvados.
Nice. Wow.
Donc je vais les distiller là bientôt, les remplir en litre.
Okay, so like soon he's going to distill it and to fold them again. How do, comment vous les nettoyez?
Ben on ouvre en bas et on rentre dedans.
Okay, so the same. Would you like to do it? Like yeah, they enter in it and they clean it.
Yeah.
Clean it.
Wow. And these have been here for a very long time. I see that there's some engraving on it.
Ils sont là. Ils sont placés là.
Depuis leur construction.
Since the beginning of their, yeah.
13 generations.
Yeah.
13 generations.
No, well,
1903.
Yeah,
1903. Okay. Oh, I see that. Okay, thank you. And it says, is that the name of the cooper, the barrel maker up there?
Alors, est-ce que c'est le nom? Oui, because fait par means done by.
C'est eux, puis après vous avez le nom ici.
C'est un
tonnerre. Yeah, because fait par means done, made by. And so this is the name. Comment c'est?
Pellebois.
Pellebois is the name of the barrel maker.
What is the minimum time that these barrels stay empty?
Combien de temps il faut les garder vides à peu près au début?
Ah non, non, une fois ils sont fabriqués, il faut les utiliser.
Okay, so there is no reason to put them empty. Like as
full.
You get them, yeah, you fill them.
Always full, okay.
You fill them.
Very cool.
Get one of these barrels.
Yeah.
Sour.
Is this the only one? There's another one behind.
No.
Just here. This is really cool.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Wow,
it's
great. It's like Land of the Giants. Right?
I know. She did say that. I can't remember now.
Yeah.
Interesting.
250 hectoliters. 400.
And 50 hectoliters. Interesting what he was saying, because he was saying, see, just by looking at them, you can figure out how big was the cider production at the beginning of the 19th century. Because you have to imagine that it was just the standard barrels, actually. So it can give you an idea of how big was the cider production. Right?
La production viticole a commencé.
Cider production started to decline right after the World War II. Due to the fact that new appetizers were coming into the market.
So it was more of an aperitif.
Actually, cider was drink like during the whole meal. Actually,
right. Drunk
but
whole meal,
starting
yeah.
from this new trend of appetizer, they started to have another also alcohol like modern. This is his term, modern alcohol.
Right.
So that's why cider started to become like less and less attractive.
So I think if I did my math right. His annual production would be about 5 of these barrels.
Alors, par an, vous faites à peu près 5, en termes de production, 5... So your math is really great.
Yeah, well done.
So a hectoliter is 100 liters?
100 liters, yeah.
So
really it's 400.
45,000 liters.
Yeah.
He said, we better hurry up with something else before we taste. Or we've got to get some tasting.
Okay, let's do it.
Wonderful things to taste.
1972 to 1962.
Okay, so they have the 4, 8, 10, 12 years old Calvados. And like the most, the oldest one is the one from 1969.
Wow.
Yeah.
There is a reason why we drink it like this. Yes, there is a reason why we drink it like this. But we are like cider. We are like palms. We are like orchards. Having some fun.
That is a sneak peek into the Totally Cider Tour. This was from last September, and we will be returning to the Domaine du Manoir de Montreuil this coming September on the Totally Cider Tour, going out on the 22nd to the 28th of September. And this year, instead of having our lunch at the deli, we are going to be bringing our lunch directly to this farm and orchard with Patrice and enjoying a little bit more time there. We were kind of moving all over the place. There was so much more to see and certainly more time to drink cider. A couple of things I wanted to like note about the conversation, because I know we're moving all around and it might be kind of hard to catch up, and I don't want you to miss it. He talked about the fact that he does not use any pesticides, and one of the pest management things that he does with their livestock is when he sees insects on the trees, he lets the cattle come in and they in turn scratch their backs on the trees and knock off the insects. That's one of the way he manages it, which I hadn't really heard before, but it's so perfect for Normandy, because you're always seeing the happy cows grazing in the apple orchards, and especially in the fall, there's just nothing like seeing cows who have been eating drops that might be a little fermented. They look really happy. The other thing is that these were on standardized trees. And the piece about that it's difficult for the apple farmers, and this is why it's so important to get to Normandy now and to see these farms, because it is a changing landscape. Unlike the problem that we see throughout Ciderville worldwide, in that until we get to that pivotal point where people start getting, my goodness, orchards are to be preserved and they take a long time to grow, orchards are being taken down. And so he is in a very unique position here. As we were standing on the orchard looking out, we could see where there had been orchards, but they are no longer there. It's like seeing Notre Dame burning and then saying, dang, I wish I got there. Well, that's Notre Dame. If you are a cider fan, that's what's happening with orchards. And so this is a time to do it. Another push and encouragement to sign up now for the Totally Cider Tour going to Normandy, France. Let's get back to that bottle of Calvados that I opened and was sipping on during this recording and editing. I actually have to open it again and pour a little bit more because, well, it was, you know, it's 20 minutes later. So here we go.
little bit there. Where Patrice is located and a lot of cider tourists go to is Pédoge. And Pédoge has its own appellation, and they are required to have 100% apples. In fact, one of the reasons why France is so inviting for me and why I've really targeted to be leading tours is because they have to use 100% apples. There's just no way around it. Unlike so many other countries in the world, France, 100% apples. And with Calvados, there are definite certain requirements. Of course, Patrice was talking about, he has to have an orchard map, not only knowing what the varieties are, but an orchard map, because they have a very rigorous schedule in order to get the appellation on your bottle. And it's a big deal to get that, just as one would have for wine. It's a huge deal when you have that appellation on your bottle. It means something. And for Calvados and Pédoge, the natural fermentation for the cider first has to be at least 42 days, and then there is a distillation process, and it's always a double distillation in a pot still. And then it has to be aged for a minimum period of 2 years. Interestingly, in Calvados Domfronté, that's Domfront region, further to the south in Ornay, Manche, and Maine, they have a different soils. It's more schist-like in granite versus up north. I believe it's more like a limestone, shallow kind of clay area. Well, in the Domfront region, they are making it primarily with poré or peri-pear, you know, a peri. And in that case, they have the natural fermentation for at least 42 days. They're picking very specific varieties of pears and apples in both regions. And then there's a distillation with a column still, so it's different than a pot still. And that area requires that you age for a minimum of 3 years in oak casks. So there is a difference, and you do taste it as you go along, which is part of the reason going there. When I was first going to France a number of years ago now and really researching this, I didn't have a good palate for Calvados because, honestly, you can't get it in my spot of Ciderville. And what the selection that you get are really limited and not super high quality. So being there and being able to taste Calvados with the maker, after smelling the orchards, tasting the fruit, just ups the ante tremendously. And so with this bottle here from Patrice, it says hors d'âge, and that means out of age. So it could be as old as like 6 years to like 30 or 50 years. It doesn't really say on this bottle, and frankly, I can't remember how old it is. But regardless, it's absolutely delicious. And so what do you get on a Calvados, one that's predominantly made with cider apples? Let me take a little smell here. They often say like a eau de vie, you know, like a brandy, is not going to have a fruit flavor, but I disagree. Absolutely, I disagree, because I am getting a fruit flavor coming off of this Calvados, and I'm just going to try to take your mind's eye to like walking an orchard in the fall, and there's apples on the ground, and you happen to step on an apple, and it gets squishy, and up comes this scent around you that is like fermented apples, a kind of caramely, like a toasted apple scent. That's what I get both in the nose and when I sip. I get it in the taste too. It's very, very subtle. This one happens to be kind of like a very light oak overtures in it, but just enough to kind of carry that Calvados forward. It is an exquisite drink, and I'm just head over heels now for Calvados. It's like I can't get enough of it. And I tell you, when I go to Normandy, I know I'll be drinking the cider while I'm there, but what I'm going to be bringing back is
I'm going to be bringing back Calvados. And with some of the makers that we're going to be visiting this September, we're going back to some of the same locations. And I'm super stoked about that because now having had to taste their Calvados, I know which ones to really highly recommend to the folks on the tour. So there's a reason why we're returning back to the same place, including, interestingly, this will be the first year that Eric Bordelais has his Calvados. Up to this point, you might get a bottle of Calvados from Bordelais. And I'll say Bordelais on it, but he was not producing that. He had another person coming in and doing the distillation. So it looks like we should be seeing some Eric Bordelais Calvados on this Totally Cider tour. So I'm fingers crossed for that. I'm very excited because it takes a long time to age it. And what will he come out? You know, he's so out of the loop in terms of the classic maker such as Patrice, who's been doing it for 13 generations, right? Well, he hasn't done it, but his family has. What will come out of it? That is part of the journey, and that's what excites me and thrills me to pieces to be able to share that with you. So cheers to you. Well, I'm kind of hitting the bottle. It doesn't quite sound. Let me try that again. There we go. Cheers to you, Ciderville. Now would be the time to sign up for the Totally Cider Tour to Normandy, France, going at September 22nd to the 28th. Come along with me and Pamela and magnificent people on the tour to both Pédoge and Domfront. Go to the Totally Cider page at ciderchat.com, and there you will find the link to the reservation form. This is Rhea Windcaller, signing off for now. Looking forward to seeing you in Ciderville.
We like cider. Some fun.